The concept of chometz is a little bit counterintuitive, especially because when you think about the interplay between chometz and matzah, it's the last thing you'd expect, right? Think about it like this. Chometz is so chomer. It comes with an iser karis. We spent the whole year learning about all the lavin that are associated with chometz, and we keep adding new dimensions. Last week we spoke about lo sishchar al chometz am zivchi, that there's an additional aspect of chometz that even relates to the Korban Pesach that we have to avoid.
But then you get this right? thing that's like one minute removed.
So isn't that beautiful, beautiful. Isn't that ironic? The Chassam Sofer asks this question. Of all the items that could serve as the centerpiece of the Seder, the mitzvah of Yontif is the mitzvah matzah. According to some, this famous statement of the Netziv, reads the Rambam like this, it's not just, in the Vilna Gaon, it's not just that there's a mitzvah, chova, to eat at the Seder, matzah, and in the time of Beis HaMikdash, it was part of the Achila Korban Pesach, a matzah, sumaron, v'chuhu, but could be that every kazayis of matzah I eat over the entire week of Pesach is also a mitzvah. The Vilna Gaon was makbid to eat Shalosh Shudas on the last day of Pesach, even though normally there's no Indian of Shalosh Shudas on Yontif the way we paskin. Only on Shabbos is the third meal. He would have an extra meal at the very end to show, either because he held that there was this special kiyum that you get for eating matzah during the whole week, or to show the chavivas that he wanted to have one more opportunity. The mitzvah was so special to him. And we know, what did he make havdalah on? The Vilna Gaon was makbid to make havdalah on beer. Right after Pesach was over, the first opportunity he could have to have chometz, he took advantage of it also to show this contrast that when you tell me to eat matzah, I'm going all out on the matzah. And as soon as there's no mitzvah anymore, you know, some people, they like to eat matzah pizza all week long, all year long. So the Vilna Gaon wanted to demonstrate, no, I was eating matzah because Hashem told me to eat matzah. I was not eating chometz because Hashem told me not to eat chometz. As soon as that prohibition is lifted, I'm going right for the beer for Abdel. So isn't it ironic? What's that? His neighbor, the guy, he bought it back from him, you know. Okay, plenty, if you want the beer, you can find the beer somehow. Okay, he figured it out. So, Frech Tacham Sofer, beautiful, no, that's the Sam Sofer's question. Wouldn't it make more sense for the Torah to command us to eat matzah, to eat something that's going to serve as the focal point of the whole holiday that doesn't have even the potential to become chametz in the first place? Why do we like live on the edge? You know, why are we playing this extreme sport of like, you know, like bungee jumping where you're coming to on the verge of death and then you save yourself at the last moment? There, you know, the whole psychology and why people engage in extreme sports because they feel like life is boring. So they need that thrill, that exhilaration of almost being dead and then like coming back to life again. Okay? So Baruch Hashem, we have Torah, we have Yiddishkeit, we have enough to entertain us, so to speak, and keep us engaged. If we're always interested in growing in a spiritual way, we don't need near-death experiences. But that's almost what we're doing over here with our karis, right? Why do we go live on the edge with our chametz? Why couldn't the Torah give me something which essentially tells me you're safe? Eat this morrow, right? No one's worried about the morrow becoming chametz. What's the pshat? So I saw in a Haggadah that was published a couple years ago, the following suggestion, I think from the Chassam Sofer mentions this, but the mashal comes from the Magid, Shon Shadron, famous Magid of Yerushalayim, which was put together by Rabbi Nissen Muller, who's a machanach in Chicago. I've had the school to hear him speak a few times when I was there in Chicago, and he explains as follows. Shon Shadron, when he was younger, so he was once trying to do a little kiruv, and trying to get to some local boys, Israelis who were not religious, and he wanted to get them to come after school was over, after they went to public school, to come and learn a little chumash, have a little Jewish education. And you know, there's a particular kid every day who'd say, "No, I'm not interested. Rabbi, after school, I don't have any time. That's when I play soccer. You know, every little Israeli kid plays soccer all afternoon. So I can't, you know, this is, I can't give up that time, right? This is, you know, I need that outlet. I need that exercise. Maybe when I get older, you know, then I'll have some time to play, to learn. Now I need my play time. I want to play soccer." So you'd ask him every single day, and he would never play with him. So one time he decided to take a different approach. And he said to him, you know, "Okay, fine. I don't want to take you away from your game, but like, can you tell me a little more about this soccer? You know, like tell me a little more about this game." So the kid got excited. Oh, you know, finally the old-fashioned rabbi is opening up his mind a little bit. So to the important stuff in life. So he told them, you know, he drew out like, you know, a field, and he gave them all the rules and the different teams and the ball and the time and the ref and the, you know, and you have to keep your hands off the ball and have to get, you have to beat the goalie and you have to get there's this space, there's this net, and you have to get the, actually Israelis playing soccer after school probably was no net. It was just like, you know, so you have to get the ball in the goal, right? So he got very, very excited, and you know, and at the picture, he's a Yerushalmi Yid, and he wears a shreimel on Shabbos, like nodding his head, you know, understanding. And so the boy finally finished, and he figured, okay, now, you know, now he understands the game, now he gets the geschmack. So then he says, okay, I think I understand, but let me just ask you one more question to make sure I understand. I'm really not clear. If the whole point is to get the ball in the goal, so why don't you just wait until the game's over and the goalie leaves and then kick it in, right? Doesn't that make more sense? So you look at him like Rabbi, like you missed the point, you know? The whole idea is to get the ball in the goal when the goalie is standing there. You got to get it past him. That's how you win. That's how you beat the other team. Once he leaves, there's no game. So then the Magid had the last laugh. He said, ha ha, of course, that's exactly what I've been trying to tell you all this time. I understand you want to play, and I'm giving you the opportunity to come and learn. When you grow up, and you're not interested in playing, and then life is busier, and then you sit down to learn, you know, when you're an old, middle-aged guy, you know, like, and you have no interest in playing kids' games anymore, that's no challenge. When the goalie's gone, when the Yitzhar walks off the field, you never say, then when I have free time, then when I don't have any other thing to distract me, then I'll come and learn. That, the goalie's already gone at that point. The Yitzhar left. There's no challenge. The whole chop over here, winning, that sense of accomplishment, the sense of victory, is when there's an obstruction, when there's someone standing in the way, when there's something that wants to overpower you, and you demonstrate that inner strength, and you say, I can do this. I can practice, I can work hard, and I'm going to come out on top. That's where a person achieves their potential. And that is the message of the Chametz and the Matzah. If the whole Yantav Pesach surrounded a mitzvah of eating something that had no challenge, that didn't present any obstacle, and yeah, anyone can eat the matzah, and there's no risk. There's no fallout. There's no effort that needs to be expended. So what? Lufum Tzara Agra. It's the fact that we had this ticking time bomb, you know, and they're counting the minutes. When the water gets added to the flour, every moment till it gets into the oven, comes out safely without a chash of chimatz. You ever go bake your own matzahs? There's a certain sense of like relief and excitement, like when the matzahs come out. Yes, 3.5 minutes. Yes, and then the next time we beat the record, and then we got it out in 2.5 minutes, right? That's a set, right? But if at the end of the 18 minutes, like a little bell was going to ring and like nothing happens, so then you wouldn't have that same sense of accomplishment. And when a person connects with that notion of chametz also representing the Yetzer Hara, so then we come back to that mashal l'sakhi game. When you know that there's something you're up against and you overpower it, that's true growth. And it's such a lesson for life. Such a lesson for life. Number one, because we often procrastinate until we have quote-unquote free time, and we all know we don't really have free time. Life doesn't get less busy after this stage in life. But more so, if you think that, all right, but I don't have the challenges, then I'll be able to do it. Yeah, but you're missing the point. You have to work to go beyond your comfort zone, to show up at 9 o'clock, even when those shears normally at 9:15, and then beat it. Because then you prove to yourself that I have kochos that I didn't even know that I had inside. Right? That sense of maybe it's not true, you know, for the superstar. You know, but for us, as we're growing, so beating the Yetzer Hara, that's where we empower ourselves to realize that our potential is greater than we thought it was. And that's what the potential for the chametz, beating it and winning, and coming out with the matzah is meant to inspire us to recognize in every nisyon, every challenge we have in the Baruch Hashem. Have a wonderful day, Baruch Hashem.